Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday the 13th of June. I am Monday the 13th of June's version of Pete Donaldson, and I'm joined by yesterday's man, Sunday the 12th of June, Luke Moore. You all right, mate?
How you doing? What timeline are we on where you are today's man and I'm yesterday's man?
You're right, actually. Yeah, I very much represent...
You're the future.
...human history.
No, you're not today. You're the future.
I'm the future, yeah. I'm wearing, like, self-tightening shoes. Got a hoverboard.
Self-tightening chastity belt. like the man who complained about one of our shows, and then you did some investigation on him and worked out he liked to post pictures of himself posing in a chastity cage he'd made himself.
Correct. I mean, I do not generally kink shame.
No, I've not got no problem with it. It's just it was interesting, though, isn't it?
If you are being rude about me, I will kink shame you.
If you are being rude about
my kink is being rude about your kink.
I want you to know, everyone, I've got some very, very strongly held personal principles and beliefs. But if you step one toe across that line, they go out the fucking window, and you
I'll
are dead to me.
I'll kill your kids.
You're like Kaiser Soze. I'll kill my own family just to show I mean business.
Oi.
Anyway.
What's been going on, Lukey, man, in your life? I mean, you're currently in hell, building hell. You can't really speak about the building works happening in your house because the big boy builders are still in your house.
Yeah, so
you can't slate them.
Well, one thing, I've negotiated a ceasefare of an hour to record Luke and Pete show. I went in there like the world's most pathetic adult man. Just went in there and went, excuse me, could you do some quiet work for an hour?
Some quiet work.
And he's
do
like,
you want to have story time?
What? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, oh, I've got to do a meeting and it'll be too noisy. And he just went, I'll go for lunch.
Go for lunch then.
Yeah, so he just went for lunch. But he's a great guy. So for those who basically, which is everyone listening, who doesn't know that I'm having my bathroom redone at the moment, that is the definition, I know it's a first world problem, but it's a definition of short-term pain for long-term gain. It is a lot of short-term pain.
Right. Like, how many bathrooms do you have in your house?
I've got one, and it's currently a bomb site.
That is troubling.
It's
so how are you? Are you going to the gym for a wash? Are you having a little
this
bath?
Can you see this in camera? That's a bottle of piss, mate.
You're not pissing
really, it's not really
pissing
nice.
In bottles.
They leave
them out the window.
They leave the toilet in, apart from I think one day where they change it out.
But you've got to ask them to access your own toilet. That would be. And you're not an awkward man. Imagine if I had that situation. I'd be fucking. I'd go move house.
I just walked in there just doing a woolly copter. The universal language of the woolly copter. So I think one of the problems will come if you decide that you want to have. So the absolute apotheosis of terrible situation would be if you've got one bathroom and within that bathroom you wanted to move the toilet to a different location in said bathroom. Then you'd be fucked.
Because they've got to just move the sewage pipe.
Everything. With this, we're having the toilet put in the same place. So actually, they can just leave it into the last minute and then flip it over. So that's okay. The problem is, obviously, you've got no running water in the bathroom. So you've got no shower, bath, no sink or anything. So we're obviously having to do all the ablutions possible in the kitchen but stopping before it becomes unhygienic. And then... let's just say I've started going to the gym again. Oh, look, you're back. You're going to go and get into shape? No, just going to use the shower. That's okay.
Yeah, for a shower.
Yeah, 90
Steal
quid a month
Africa.
Just to use that shower. Yeah. So it's not ideal, but I mean, the guys doing it are great. A couple of Bulgarian fellas. Very, very pleasingly, they're called Angel and Gabriel.
Fantastic.
How good is that?
And they do the Lord's work of cleaning out your sump tank, cleaning
Absolutely.
Out your effluvia.
They're doing amazing. There's something, and we've talked about this before. I think we talked about it when I had the roof done on the house. There's something very, I think, almost magical in witnessing two people coming in and basically smashing the absolute shit out of your room, but being so confident in themselves that what they're going to replace it with is much better that they don't care. Do you know what I mean? Because the first bit, anyone could do that. You and I could do that in half an hour, right? Just take a sledgehammer to the bathroom. Great. Probably be a lot of fun. But what's coming after? Probably something terrible.
Just a lot of wallpaper. Let's just cover the whole room in wallpaper.
I could imagine maybe coming in and we're going, let me finish the bathroom. And it's like, these are just, that's not a sink. That's just a hole. But the water just disappears. Who knows where it goes?
It's a cool Japanese toilet where it's like, you sit on the floor. It's good for your digestion. It's good for pooping.
Apparently squatting is the very best way to do the old poopies, isn't it?
Yeah, but I would just overbalance constantly and just find myself with my bum wedged into my own poo.
My knees aren't allowing for that.
No, true.
I can't even do the Bielsa squat for more than 5 seconds.
About a week ago, I went in goal for the Jubilee celebrations in my street.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying.
I put a queen mask on. And did a penalty shootout, and they only took about 20 penalties at me. All the kids in the area, and I was in bits.
Sorry, all the kids in the area.
Kids in my area. Yeah.
Did you commit to that? I will save a penalty from every kid in this area.
I will take on, and I'll be dressed as the queen, and I won't be able to see them. I'll tell you what, kids in Essex are really good at football. It's a big shout.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And I'm not a man to do big shouts. Like Mark Haynes on the Excellent Stack podcast, Wrestle Me reckons that Americans don't text. And I don't generally call them
fucking nonsense.
I know. And I call them and I said, Mark, that's insane. That is insane. You're a learned man. One thing that is interesting
about that sort of thing, Pete, sorry to cut in, but is that generally speaking, in my experience, Americans don't like using WhatsApp, which is quite surprising.
Oh, right, okay.
They're big iMessage guys.
Okay, they're team iMessage, yeah. But I can't, now I've joined the Android mega super race, I just sometimes don't get messages from iPhoners, and then I'll open my old phone to get some antiquated apps that for some reason aren't on Android. And I'll just have loads of messages on iMessage, like saying, happy birthday, Pete. I'm really sorry I didn't get back to you. Rubbish.
Yeah, I think that's my experience of my American family on WhatsApp. You send them a WhatsApp, you ain't getting a reply for like 6 months. I sent a birthday message on WhatsApp to my sister-in-law in the first half of the year, and I got a reply, I think, around November, because she looked at WhatsApp because it was Thanksgiving. It's like that's the kind of level you're looking at.
That is solid work.
But when you said that you saved a penalty from every kid in Essex, what was your kind of percentage save ratio, do you reckon? Because I saw the picture and the goal was like a hockey goal, right? It's quite small.
It didn't favour the penalty taker, I don't think. I started letting them in after a while. I just want them to have those great memories of smashing a ball past the Queen of England.
The 96-year-old Queen of England.
96.
Would she have done a better job in goal at 96 than you did?
I don't know. It's my second. I said to Sarah, I said, you better have got my second save on tape, because that was magnificent.
How old was the kid taking it?
He's about 10.
I love the idea of you taking it really seriously, like competitively.
I went to get my gloves.
You started in the run-up. No, retake. And did you make sure that every single kid got a go? So if there was, like, say, a family at number 97 that didn't come out, you knocked on their door and said, look, I know for a fact you've got an 8-year-old boy. He's
Bring
taking
your daughter
a penalty
to the slaughter. Come on, take a penalty. Take me up. Debate me.
Yeah.
Crying out loud.
Did you? Were you happy with your performance or not?
Happy with my performance all weekend. I was. I started Pissed. The weekend on Saturday on a in a O'Neill's in Chinatown.
Yeah.
And then continued with my jubilee, my own jubilee celebrations by getting some penalties absolutely lamped at me. I've started playing football, Luke. This isn't the football ramble, and to be
in
honest,
Essex.
This wouldn't fit in the football ramble. I've started playing a bit of football down at this kind of really chintzy kind of. It's called the Players Lounge in Billericay, and if anyone's familiar with that area, it's proper Essex, but. Basically, I've started playing in a five-a-side team where every single last lad definitely was semi-pro at some point.
It's funny you say this, because I know exactly what you mean when it comes to that part of the country.
Like, do you not think everyone's... Who's that fellow who won Fame Academy or X Factor? And he always plays in the old... Soccer Nation thing on ITV. What is it? Soccer Aid. Yeah, I can't remember
Ollie Murs.
Ollie Murs. Yeah. Everyone's a bit Ollie Murs. Everyone looks a bit like they were in a boy band, and they all definitely played semi-pro at some point. Essex is just a place where every lad knows how to play football really well, in my opinion.
No, I think you're right, and he's definitely from Essex. That makes sense. Tell you who else is from Essex. Big Pav, right?
Big Pav.
He's from Leon C. He's from near where you are.
Yeah.
And he and all his mates, they're all brilliant at football.
It's mad.
Yeah.
What's that about? Why are they all... Is it because there's just so many kind of London clubs that they can all kind of like...
I don't know.
They stay around the area and try and get their place.
But I know exactly what you mean. I was saying this because I went away for because we're having this bloody bathroom done. Mm. And we got to... It's taken ages. We got to the end of a tether about it. So we just went away for a weekend just to go to have somewhere where you could have a working shower for a weekend. And we went up to a hotel up in Hertfordshire. Actually, not far from where you used to live. And up in near... you were in Bucks, weren't you? Not in Hertfordshire, sorry.
No, I was in Hertfordshire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. And I feel the same about kind of Hertfordshire. I don't know why, but I used to play football at uni with a couple of guys from Hertfordshire. They were brilliant. And then we went... this hotel had like a kids kind of soccer thing as well. Like a soccer school type thing.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's a bit of confirmation bias there because they're all like probably there because they're good. Mm. But like, the standard was absolutely unbelievable. So I think there's a lot of cross. Weirdly, I think there's a kind of interesting substrata. Not substrata, because that sounds like they're worse. You know what I mean? But like, I don't want to get all Nazi about it. I'm not saying that they're genetically inferior human beings. What I'm saying is that there's a type of person from Essex and Hertfordshire, and the crossover's quite similar. They're all a bit kind of, all right, mate. They all love golf. They're all really good at football, and they all dress the same haircuts, way. In a weird way, it's like an inversion of the really posh thing that we have in England, where the posh kids all dress the same, the Henley type style, and they've got the same floppy hair as well. It's like it's weird how like people kind of get into these little groups, whereas you and I, Pete, we're renegades, so we're outlaws, baby.
They smashed up the mould when they made us. They said this mold
disgusted.
Is not good.
Yeah, disgusted they were. Which is weird, given how many people look like you.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually, yeah. It's.
I reckon what happened was they made me, they smashed up the mold and said, no, disgusting, not again. They made you, but the mold escaped.
Yeah, it found its way into like a B-grade market, like a kind of... computer chips. They make loads of computer chips, and then if one isn't really operating as suspected, it goes into the B grade bin, and it doesn't necessarily fire on all cylinders. There's massive issues with it, but it's good enough for emerging markets.
You're very much the Gianni sisters to the Super Mario Brothers, right?
Is this the first mention of the Gianni sisters, the great Gianni sisters on the the podcast?
Great
someone
game.
Was doing someone was doing the World Cup of Spectrum loading screens. and on Twitter and fuck me, the compared to how joyous and silly and playful the Dizzy games were. Do you remember Dizzy?
I love Dizzy. Yeah, I used to have Magic Land.
Me
Dizzy,
too.
Yeah.
One of my favourites. I forever drawn that little fucker on my exercise books. How different the loading screens are. It, like this is for Treasure Island Dizzy. Treasure Island Dizzy. I think when he finds himself in, he's basically in this massive kind of like horrific scene, like all cast adrift in some unlovable sea, and there's waves crashing, and he's like worried because he's just a big fucking egg with boxing gloves on.
Yeah.
And he's gone, ah! And it's absolutely beautiful. These crashing waves and the moon, and it looks so bloody tense. And then you get there, and there's, you know, just Dizzy rocking around picking up coins.
Yeah, and famously as well, because he's an egg.
Yeah,
the last place he wants to be in is in the sea, because if he's a good egg, he'll sink to the bottom, and if he's a rotten egg, he'll float.
So you want to be a rotten egg? Yeah, he's floating at that point, so maybe he was a big rotten egg.
Maybe he's full of stinky gas.
Very good point.
I like the idea that they... this is the thing about... I think we've kind of alluded to this in the past, but the whole idea, the kind of aesthetic of... And it's very much around the start of the internet as well, but around that kind of... Because like Treasure Island Dizzy would be like late 80s, right? Like 89, something like that.
And maybe a little bit earlier, but yeah.
Yeah, around that kind of area, right? That's when like video games were like properly exciting, because like it was just like these kind of rogue Wild West type developers, right, just doing their own thing. And
the Oliver twins.
Well, do you know what I mean? My friend Jerry, a good friend of mine, used to work at Capital, but I don't think you'd know him. He wrote a self-published book about all the best home video games of the 80s.
Oh, I saw that book. It was very, very nicely done.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really well done. He's got loads of money. I think he just likes doing it as a hobby. but anyway, when you read that book, you really get the idea that people are just doing stuff out of their own interest, pursuing their own interest. I remember interviewing the guy who invented Sensible Soccer.
Yes.
And it was clear that he was just like, started out as a hobbyist, but he was just brilliant at it.
And he's had a good 25 years out of that game.
But I mean, good luck to him.
Yeah, it was good. I played it. I used to like sort of the management mode where you just sort of do season after season. And a season would only last about half an hour and you'd just be smashing.
Sensible World
of
Soccer was fucking great.
It was cracking stuff.
But they
keep bringing it back and they keep repackaging in the same way that obviously, you know, Top Gun's very popular at the moment. And
I saw that at the movies, by the way.
I did too. Yeah. It's very good, isn't it? Quite good.
You make your point, and then I'll tell you what.
Yeah,
I'm
just saying, there's no new IP anymore. People in the main, people are just focused on repackaging our nostalgia and selling it back to us. It's what's given us Brexit, I suppose, isn't it?
Well, speaking of that, God, I've got so many opinions on that. So on the Top Gun thing, I did like it. I felt like I was at the absolute limit of how much disbelief I could suspend. Do you know what I mean? It was almost like a theme park ride.
It was, and it was just. I'm surprised how much I enjoyed it when it was very much a republishing, a repurposing of the original story. Really, wasn't it? It was very much they just did the original story again.
Yeah, but the first five minutes was like shot for shots the same.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild, isn't it, that they got away with that? But it's good, though, isn't it? You go ten Gs. I'm gonna go 10 Gs.
Yeah, I just feel like none of it made any sense. But then the thing is, I know, as I said to you, I think a week or two ago, I know kind of tangentially, probably at least tangentially, I probably know, I don't know, 10 pilots, and they all absolutely fucking love it. Yeah, Pilot Neil, who's listening to this right now, will probably email in saying he thinks it's great, because I suppose it's to a large part the people who are around our age that became pilots, at least partly would be because of Top Gun, right?
Yeah.
So they love it. But then there are just preposterous moments in it where you just think, okay, is this realistically something that... Because I understand it's a movie, right? So I totally get that like things are different because it's a movie, and you know certain things that would never happen in real life do happen in probably every movie. I get that.
Yeah.
But like when you get into a stage where you know you're literally, you know, walking, no fucking, completely unchallenged into like an enemy country's airbase and just stealing one of their planes, you kind of think, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some more procedural stuff involved in that.
Well, I mean, it's all very nice and vague about.
They don't even say who the enemy country is, because they can't.
They never say the country.
Back in, it's funny because like back in the 80s, and there's obviously loads of reasons for this. But like, for example, you watch like Rocky IV.
Yeah,
it's basically just a massive like barefaced just dig at the Soviets.
Yeah, and barefaced.
Yeah.
In the national, but the national bear.
But Pete, on the nostalgia thing you mentioned earlier, something that caught my eye last week was, do you see that Liam Gallagher did a show at Nebworth.
Yeah, again, just really packaging our childhood and selling it back to us.
And if you look the thing that's really funny, I thought was really funny about it, was that I read that because Liam Gallagher's son, whose name escapes me, loves that band Fat White Family,
right.
Liam Gallagher agreed to put them on to open the show.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And do you know them, the Fat White Family? They're kind of...
I don't really remember them, to be honest.
No, they're around now. They're like a kind of punky South London, almost like, it's quite hard to explain, but like really kind of dirty punk, like
Idols sort of thing.
Yeah, but much more, yeah, like Idols, but much more kind of grotty.
Right.
And obviously, think of the audience who's gone to go and see Liam Gallagher.
Yeah.
Right. You're spot on. Whatever
they're
you're
purists.
Imagining right now, you're spot
they're
on.
Purists.
Right?
They love a guitar.
It's bucket hats every other person, right? Apparently, Fat White Family came on and did like 15 minutes of drone music, rolling around the floor, screaming. And if you do, and I don't know if it's still there, but when I found out about it last week, I did a Twitter search of Fat White Family, and it is absolutely full of Liam Gallagher / Oasis fans saying, "What the fuck is this shit? I cannot believe this is happening." At Liam Gallagher, get this lot off. the next artist that came on after them, Michael Kiwanuka. So,
so it was a long old festival. Then.
A very coherent lineup. That we
yeah,
can all agree.
I think they probably saw Michael Kiwanuka and went, "Upper fella, first one."
Yeah.
Knowing what I know about Oasis fans.
If you watch a video of that Fat White Family performance, it's just the lead singer in a pair of flesh-coloured pants rolling around on the floor of the stage screaming with all this like drone music in the background. And apparently it went on for absolutely fucking ages.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It makes
very subversive.
Hunt them out. I think the... and that is subversion, isn't it? Because who else was on? There was Kasabian were on, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realise it was a full on. Who supported Oasis back in the day in Nebworth then?
There was a couple of nights, weren't there? Prodigy did it. I think Ocean Colour Scene were there. Charlatans.
Oh, okay, right.
There were loads of acts. Because happens is, for those big kind of arena or what you'd call, I suppose, like, yeah, it's like a festival, isn't it? Really, like they have to justify the ticket price and the fact that it's such a massive occasion. They normally, I mean, the bands can start pretty early. Like I'm going to see Nick Cave in Belgium in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
at this open air gig in just outside Brussels, I think.
Yeah.
And there's like five or six bands on before him, so I think it's kind of a general thing they do on those types of events.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So I just thought it was funny.
I very much like the. I've been watching quite a lot of sort of fan cam footage of Rammstein. Their big. Arena tour that they sort of shopped around Europe. It is worth checking out how much work it takes to get such an involved set up like that. It takes about a week to get this big fucking ornate, crazy kind of setup they've got with all the video screens and the because they do so much stuff on stage. It's like every time you skip through the gig, the lead singer would have blood on his face. He'd have a big pram with a baby in it. He'd be doing other stuff. There'd be sparks coming out of his tits. All kinds of stuff happening. And they don't take their fan base for granted. They really do. I mean, they do incredible videos anyway, but they really do put their best foot forward when it comes to their stage work. It was like proper, like the scale of what you'd sort of expect from someone like U2 or
stuff you always wanted to do for a Ramble live show that we had to talk you down from and compromise.
Yeah,
somewhere.
But it's just that like it takes some 6-7 days to actually put together in a particular place, and then of course they'll be touring. So they must tour with two sets, basically.
That's generally what happens. Like if you take a time to look into the actual logistics of a massive band like that.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden's another one because they have loads of shit going on.
Mm.
Metallica to an extent as well. They have, I think, two traveling sets, and it's a massive, massive operation.
Yeah.
Which is why, linking it back to the book I was reading Slash's autobiography. I think I told you about that. Which is why I think partly why Guns N' Roses broke up the first time around, because Axl Rose was such an absolute cunt about being on stage on time.
Mm.
Over a period of time, obviously, people who do the live show for Guns N' Roses, the more kind of friendly members of the band, so like Izzy, Duff, and Slash, would become pretty good friends with the whole road crew, right?
Yeah.
But Axl Rose has always been a complete loner who never spoke to anyone. Was completely kind of detached. He wouldn't come on stage till like 3 hours after they're supposed to come on, and that would obviously have its own problems, because it would cause fucking rioting among fans and all the rest of it, and it's obviously immensely disrespectful to the paying public. But the thing that those guys hated was the fact that it massively fucked over the crew.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get out. So basically, the way Slash described it, it's just absolutely insane, right? So Axl Rose would decide unilaterally to come on, say, 2 hours late, which meant, A, they lost their fees for performing because they would go over the curfew, which meant they'd get fined by the local authorities, right?
Yeah.
B, every single person they worked with would hate them because they wouldn't be able to work all through the night. C, they would call, they'd sometimes cause riots where people literally died.
Yeah.
And then they would get banned from the city and not be able to go back and play there again. And then we'll sit around Axl Rose going, can you just come on time?
It's just like a like, zero sum.
Yeah, and he'd be like, nah. And apparently it came to a real head when they co-headlined with Metallica. And if you know when James Hetfield apparently, he either missed his cue or something went wrong, and he got set fire to by a pyrotechnic.
Right, okay.
And it burnt down the side of his face, down the side of his arm, and they had to go off. They couldn't carry on playing. And so the road manager of Metallica went into the Guns N' Roses dressing room and said, can you go on early? Because is it going to be another 2 hour wait otherwise, and the fans are going to go crazy? And they were like, yeah, fine, no worries. And Axl Rose refused.
Right, okay.
And so... yeah, it just caused a massive fucking issue. So
again, like me on the Ramble Tour.
they are like well-oiled machines when they work properly, right?
These, yeah.
Speaking of Metallica, by the way, I've got a great story. I trailed it last week. Did you hear about that baby that was born during a Metallica show last month?
I remember reading the headline, and it's one of those news stories where the headline has everything in that I need. I don't need to read that piece.
Well, basically, I'm going to give you a quick pricey because I think it's interesting. A Metallica fan went to see them in, I think it was in Brazil. Yeah, I think it was in Brazil. And she was 39 weeks pregnant. And as soon as they came on, she started having contractions.
Right.
And then the baby was born. It had to be born in one of the dressing rooms, because they couldn't get to hospital quick enough, to the sound of Enter Sandman. And yeah, it was fucking funny. Yeah. And
the baby was Axl Rose.
Yeah.
I'm late.
Yeah.
And, I'm early.
I just thought to myself, you know that, I think it's like an old Russian folk tale about Ivan the Terrible being born on the battlefield or something.
Right. Okay.
And that's why he was such an amazing warrior. I love the idea of that kid just having his destiny being like a world-straddling fucking metal guitarist now because of his birth.
He'll be really into Michael Kiwanuka. Guaranteed. Yeah, Michael Kiwanuka's biggest fan.
At time of recording, no reports of any babies being born during the Fat White Family set.
No.
But we'll
didn't we have a Luke and Pete baby? I seem to recall. I want to say that's
well. Listen, I think I would remember that.
Yeah. No.
Which one of us popped it out?
Who was speaking at the time?
Probably me. Wouldn't
Tom
it? I'm the more feminine looking one. let's have a break, mate, because we haven't done one, and Rory will be so pissed off with us.
Oh dear.
Because he's on holiday this week, and so the one time he goes on holiday,
now
25 minutes in, and we haven't done a break. So
I thought we had done a break. I was going to close down the show. Never mind.
That's why Rory's around.
Oh,
we'll be back in a minute. Just after this, don't go anywhere.
Bye bye.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello again. It's the Luke and Pete Show.
Don't Are you say having bye a baby bye just before right a now? Break, because it sounds like you're not coming back.
What do you mean? Well, I said goodbye. Yeah, but then they know we're coming back. They know we're coming. You don't hear the famous Luke and Pete Show music, do you?
True. Speaking of that, one thing we completely fucking forgot to mention, that composer of the Luke and Pete Show theme tune and friend of the Ramble, the Luke and Pete Show and Stack, Ben Bailey Smith, was doing the fucking Jubilee.
Yeah. He upset everyone. Put the wrong flag out, didn't he?
What did he do?
I think during his performance, they showed the Ireland flag rather than the Northern Ireland flag.
I don't think Ben's... I mean, we know Ben pretty well. I don't think he'd have been responsible for
Ben
that.
Ben is responsible for everything that happened in the Jubilee. He's responsible for George Ezra, singer-songwriter, doing... He's got a single out at the moment that's like... Yeah, fee fa fum, foo fa fee. You better have a party on the day that I die. Right? And it's about a girl who wants you to have a party on the day that you die. Which, if she's murdered, you're in the frame. If you're having a party.
Yeah, straight away.
Big trouble.
Terrible.
What's George doing? He's having a party. Well, he's going in the dossier.
I know
he's
getting an interview. That song because my American wife thinks it's amazing the way he sings it because it sounds like potty. Which is like what you say
have
to
a
kids.
Party on the day that I die.
Which is what you sound like. Which is what you say to kids in America. Do you want to go potty? And she thought it was funny.
Well, I think on the actual performance, he had to not use the words "you better have a party on the day that I die" because we're almost certain that the Queen is already deceased and she's a hologram.
Would you like to have a hologram of yourself after you die?
No, because I can't. Because then I don't know. I know what people are doing with my body, but if there's a hologram, I don't want you fiddling with my bits.
It's just an image, isn't it? It's just an image.
It's just an image, mate.
If I try to tickle your nuts, my hand just goes straight through the image.
Yeah, but you know, like the Native Americans say, it's like when you become a hologram, it takes a bit of your soul with you, but in 3D.
True, yeah. But speaking of that, why haven't we moved on from the famous Tupac hologram, which was like 10 years ago now?
Yeah, but I mean, Lemmy gets very upset about this. It's just not a true hologram. It's just
What is it then?
Well, it's just a projection. Holograms are very different things.
What I'm getting at is the same principle of, say, for example, man went to the moon in the 60s.
Right.
And it's 55 years later, whatever. Nothing's got better than that. I think we should feel shortchanged about that. And I talked about it on the Where's My Jetpack show, disappointment. And Sarah, my co-host on it, not my co-host, I was very much her co-host. Let me make this very clear. She was saying, "Oh yeah, because the working theory is that all the people who would have continued on in the space flight stuff, aside from the fact that, you know, the Cold War was over, now is that they all went into the internet because they all became fascinated by the internet. So she says that outer space essentially became inner space, or kind of, you know, cyberspace or whatever.
Oh, I see. Right.
And the principle is the same with the Tupac non-hologram. If it's not a hologram, fair enough. But 10 years on, I should be able to see a Muhammad Ali fight by now, probably."
Oh, what? You're like, well, isn't that what the metaverse is all about? Isn't that what that's
about? We've talked about that, and it's crap. it looks like, do you know what it looks like? The metaverse that we're all supposed to be really excited about, and fair enough, this could come back to haunt me, and it probably will, because my predictions are generally terrible. It looks like the fucking loading screen for the Wii.
Yeah, it's all pretty poor. No one's got any legs. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm not a big fan of the future, to be quite frank. Absolute trash.
Well, you're going to get there. You're going to get there whether you like it or not, mate. I'm telling Indeed. You. Let's Indeed. Do an email. Right. Let's squeeze an email in. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address. You guys keep emailing in, and we're very pleased to see that you're still out there and enjoying the show and sending us correspondence. Yeah, we've got a couple of emails here. I'll give you some subjects, Pete, and you can choose one. So we've got one here about motorcycles. We've got one here about small town liars.
Oh, let's have a small town liar, please.
I thought you'd go for that
Big
one.
Big fan of that.
This is from Nathan. Hello to you, Nathan. He says, after hearing the show recently, I thought you'd like to hear about my own personal small town liar, and what a liar he is. When I worked behind the bar in my town, there was a bloke, let's call him Pete, rude, who loved to drunkenly bullshit. One night he told me he was a sniper in the Falklands War, and he worked in anti-terrorism in Manchester when the IRA were big.
Yeah.
Another time, shortly after his divorce, he claimed his neighbour posted a letter through his door detailing how attractive he was and that he could pop round any time he liked. She was apparently too shy to tell him in person. The coup de grace, though, is the time that he allegedly sang The Drugs Don't Work on karaoke in Prague, which led to numerous women throwing their underwear at him. I bet even Tom Jones himself couldn't pull that off. It's the least arousing song possible. Love the show. Thanks, Nathan. I love the variety of those lies.
I mean, yeah, it just sounds like he's got a lie for all seasons, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I if you want to have a radio turned off in my presence, just play the Drugs Don't Work by The Verve. I think it is the most dreary, drab, piece of shit song on the planet. I hate it so much.
And
the idea
the
that women would throw their pants at someone doing that in karaoke in Prague, it seems like one of his bigger lies for me.
Yeah, and you can tell with that kind of case from Nathan's example there, it's pathological, right? Because, like, if you were going to do it and think about it properly and actually try and get some social kind of currency or kudos out of it, you'd probably think about sticking to one impressive lie.
Yeah, just
and keeping them on a theme. Do you know what I mean? So if it was a military theme, fine. Talk about the military thing, you know.
So you got a purple heart like that man in the staircase.
I've seen videos on TikTok, though. I saw a video on TikTok a while back of a guy wearing a load of military medals at an event and another guy who was in the military saying, that doesn't look right, going up there quizzing him about it.
Yeah.
And he just basically bought them off eBay and put them as wearing them. and he made the guy flip the medal around because I didn't know this. I don't actually know where it was. It could have been the US, could have been the UK. But on the back of those particular medals, it's got the surname of the person that won it.
Oh.
And they're just all different surnames. It's like, what brings someone to do that, man?
Get him redone. Just carve it, carve your...
And then at the end of the video, he was singing Drugs Don't Work.
Drugs Don't Work.
It's funny, isn't it?
Smashing stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Lovely job.
All right, let's wrap up. Thanks for that email, Nathan. Thanks to everyone else who sent them in. We'll get to a few more on Thursday, as well as your batteries as well.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
Which we're looking forward to. Thank you very much for listening. At Luke and Pete Show on social media. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your pods, because it helps us out a great deal.
Indeed.
And yeah, we really appreciate it. Peter, that's it, isn't it? Should we get out of here?
Let's get out of here. See you later. Ta-ta. Bye-bye.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.